Hey ladies, it's Ronit, and I just wanted to call and say that I finished the 2018 recap episode, and I wanted to just let you guys know that I'm really excited about all the upcoming episodes that Christy listed off, and the exciting stuff from the Nashville, and I'm wishing you guys a happy new year. Thanks for everything. Love you ladies. Bye.
The Big Wedding Planning Podcast.
Just two wedding planners, tearing it up. Listen, learn, plan that wedding.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the Big Wedding Planning Podcast, a show for anyone involved in planning a wedding. We want you to learn something valuable and be entertained at the same time. I am Michelle Martinez.
And I'm Christy Matthews. Thank you for joining us today.
How'd you like that little love message from Ronit that she left us?
She's
the
so
voicemail.
Sweet. She's awesome. We got to get follow-up from her after the wedding because it's in the Bay Area and it's going to be in this like outdoor, it's like a cool garden. And they're both theater performers, so
theater.
I know it'll be good.
You did consulting with her, right? You said?
Yes, several months ago, right when they were like just getting started, and we might schedule another one if she needs more help, but we've been back and forth a little bit on email, and they're really wonderful, and they remind me of myself 10 years ago living in the city. Making it happen.
And she is getting her dress from Anomaly, too, right?
I believe so. She was in that New York Times article that we shared, or Forbes, one of them, after the Anomaly episode. And then she, since she lives there, actually was able to go in person to look at some fabrics or meet her designer.
Ronit,
usually you do it all online.
Yeah, you do it all online. Except if you're in the Bay Area, you have the option of going into Hayes Valley at the Anomaly headquarters, which is super fun, which I was there for that interview we did with them.
Yeah, and they've grown like exponentially even since that interview.
Oh my God, they're huge. They're
probably
amazing.
Because of us, probably.
It's totally because of us.
Yeah.
Because
you're welcome.
You're welcome, Leslie, at Anomaly. Because so a gazillion people listen to this
gazillion
podcast.
Yeah.
And Ronit, you are all up in it. We love you. Thank you so much for just leaving us a little love message. We actually, I don't know, I think, and listen, we encourage you guys to call the number 415-723-1625. Again, that number is 415-723-1625. We encourage you to call that number and leave us messages with your questions for Yawa, but also it's nice to get little love messages.
We need it.
Which pretty much is our iTunes reviews, which we're going to get to. But you guys, I just have to say, you have been blowing up iTunes reviews lately. I am, like, literally, my husband had to scoop me up off the floor. I think it was on January 10th. I don't know, because I think we got, like, 4 or 5 in a row. Like, I just was like, bleh, all mushy with, like, love and, like, I just love it. I love it. But anyway, Ronit, thank you for that lovely message. Happy New Year to you, too. I hope you like the Nashville episode. We have so many more to come. I love you. I love your show, if you have one.
She does.
Thank you.
She's always in shows. Yep.
Oh, that's awesome.
It's not a podcast, but it's like, I think they just did Macbeth and they do.
Oh, gotcha. Show.
Yeah.
The theater shows.
Mm-hmm,
theater.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
I don't know.
Both of
saying,
them,
theater.
I believe.
Awesome. Okay. And let's do the housekeeping. Let's get it out of the way. By the way, hi, Christy. How are you?
Hi. I am good.
Oh, God. That was like a hi.
Things are moving right along. Just waiting to hear from lawyers.
What is going on with the car rental fiasco?
I actually haven't heard back since we sent a letter declining to pay what they're asking for that damage to that rental car that I did not cause. So I will keep you posted.
The LDW.
Oh, it makes me mad, but I think I'm on to some sort of rental car racket. I know I'm not the only one that has dealt with this. So if you're renting a car in the next year and you're listening to this podcast now, take my advice. And when you rent the car, take a million pictures of the outside and inside and top of the car. Even take a video.
What?
Yeah, just right before you drive it away, take all the pictures. And then take more pictures when you get back. Text the pictures to someone so they have a date on them. Anyway, so stupid. So frustrating.
I'm going to text you pictures.
Yeah, do it.
Actually, when we go to Boston, I'm going to rent a car. So
yeah, we're going to.
We got to do all that stuff.
Yeah, we're going to take all the pictures.
That's crazy pants. Just, ugh.
Anyway.
Anywho's, well, I'm recording in a new space. Have you noticed? I'm not in the other room. Do you see my bed
yes,
back there?
Yes, I do.
I'm in. So the kids have always shared a room since they were, you know, Santi was 3, Frankie was 11
right.
months old. And when we moved here from Boston, we got a 3-bedroom house. And I told them, if you guys want your own rooms, you know, and they're like, no, 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 we want to share. They're like besties. It's super cute. But just before Christmas, I was putting them to bed one night, and Santi said to me, hey, Mom, when do you think I'll get my own room? And I was like, oh, my God. So he's 11 and almost a half now, and it was time. And my mother was always like, you got to split them up. They shouldn't be sharing a room. They're a girl and a boy.
Oh,
I'm like,
no. I shared with my brother.
Yeah. I'm like, Ma, all the books say when they're ready, they'll let me know.
Right.
And he did. So after the new year, after my in-laws left, they were here for 3 weeks because I told them, okay, you can have your own room, but you got to wait till your abuelos leave because we need the space right now. After that, Maddie came over. You know Maddie, Gunkle, bestie. He came over on a Friday and we spent literally 8 hours taking down humongous IKEA beds with desks underneath them, putting them back up. And now Jose Luis and I have the master bedroom in the house, the big bedroom. And now I have no more recording space, no more yoga room, no more meditation room, no more office. So I had to buy a little table for my bedroom, and here I am.
And they'll just share a room when you have visitors again?
Well, yes and no. I can also, we have like inflatable mattress, and Santi's room will fit that. So we'll see. We'll see. We also have that back sunroom, so... Anyway, no more dedicated yoga slash guest slash recording room for me.
Well, I'm sorry about that.
You sacrifice when you have children, people, okay?
My
Think about that.
Kids share their room, and my father-in-law, who's been living with us for 6 months, is moving soon. So we'll actually have
Can
two
I move
guest
in with
rooms.
You?
Until somebody, until he comes back. Not, but that's neither here nor there.
Well,
Arizona is different
you know,
than California.
Go ahead and brag, why don't you? That's great. You don't live in the Bay Area where it's $5 million
no,
for an apartment.
I don't. That's why.
Okay.
That's why.
Anywho's, so we should get to, the business part of things. You guys, in case you didn't hear last week's episode, we are going to Boston. Okay.
Boston.
We're going to Boston. Boston. We're going to rent
She's
going to
park the car.
I'm going to see my friend Mark. Mark's going to talk to us. I do have a friend named Mark, and that's how he says his name, Mark. You guys, we're so excited to go to Boston. I am really stoked because you know that I lived there for 7 years. Some of you who listen out of sequence don't even realize that I no longer live in Boston. I've seen that in a lot of emails.
Yeah.
But I'm super excited to go back. Sans kids with Christy. I've already been in contact with my peeps over there. I mean, somebody's had a baby since I left. You
life
know,
goes on, Michelle.
Just, life goes on when I'm gone.
Yeah.
You know, it happens.
So it'll be March 31st is the actual wed event that we're going
for.
But that'll be nice,
about.
Right? Like very early spring there.
Yeah,
it'll
I
be
think,
chilly.
Well, let's cross our fingers.
Okay.
Let's cross our fingers because I remember having snow in April at some winters and going, what the fuck?
Well, I would kind of like, I mean, I wouldn't not like that because we're just visiting so we can deal with it and it'll
That's
be like
true.
Pretty for us. It's annoying for everyone
we're
else.
We're just visitors. Well, it'll be like dirty from the street, brown and
yeah.
whatever. I'm just excited to go. I don't care what the weather is like. I still have my snow boots and my winter coat. So there. And we'll be, you know, we might be drinking a little bit. We might. I don't know. But we're going to wed. Okay, the WED event, Christy, why don't you tell them what that
experiencewed.com. So the WIM ladies, Moira and Natalie, who were on last episode, they are planners and planning and design and florist company out in Boston, like top of the top. And they have been working on for a couple years now and put together this like an educational forum sort of event. It is not a wedding expo. It is not a convention. There will not be 1,000 people there and 25 booths with 25 different DJs throwing flyers at you. It is more like something like professionals would go to for professional training in something. That's kind of how I'm looking at it. And it's all about wedding planning. That they want to, we all want to educate people planning their weddings about all the steps, including the logistics, negotiating, best practices. There'll be a lot of inspiration and design, how to take your vision from A all the way to Z. And there's going to be amazing speakers and amazing professionals from Boston, but also from all over, like us. We're flying in to MC the whole thing. That's all day long. Us on stage, introducing people, leading panels, asking questions. And of course, we'll also be live recording with attendees. And there'll be breakout sessions. There'll be opportunities to have some food, have some cocktails, mingle. It's going to be awesome. And we are so stoked to be going because this feels like right, like our, they're like our counterparts. The WIM lady.
Yeah, this is what we're trying to do here with the podcast. But this is jumping and diving way more deep into it because you're going to be there. You're going to pay a good amount of money for a ticket, but you're going to walk away with so much knowledge from world-class professionals.
Yeah, they want you to walk away with the tools you need to seamlessly, not effortlessly, because it takes effort, but you'll have guidance and direction and you'll have a map basically after this, so you don't have to get lost down the rabbit hole of blogs and websites and a million places that you can get advice about your weddings other than this podcast, which should be at the top of your list for
wedding planning advice. Right? All right. So you're going to go to experiencewed.com. When you get there, scroll down a little bit. You'll see the picture of Christy and I. Hi. Hey, there's my California tattoo. Anyway, experiencewed.com. And then you're going to click on tickets and you've got a promo code. You've got $50 off a ticket, you guys. The promo code is Big Wedding, all one word, Big Wedding. The flights are not expensive to Boston, by the way. I'm almost ready to book and we got to talk about that. But they're not a lot because it's not a high season in Boston. This is an excellent investment. It would be so much fun to meet you in person. We are going to do a meetup outside of WED, and stay tuned for that. But go to experiencewed.com. Tickets, your code is Big Wedding. You'll get $50 off a ticket. It's a 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. event, you guys. It's a huge, huge thing. And there's food and there's drinks. It's at Artists for Humanity Epicenter in Boston, which is a fantastic venue. Read about it. They're doing amazing things for the community as well. All right. Thank you,
and we'd love to meet you. So, of course, if you're planning on going or the area at all, hit us up. Email us.
Oh, yeah. If you're in the area, email us because we want to try to get a count for how many people we're going to have for our meetup, which is probably going to be, I don't know, that Friday or Saturday, right, Christy? We're not sure yet. We got to figure it out.
We will figure it out. We're going to figure it all out. That is going to be awesome. So we have a goal for 2019.
What is
it? We want to triple our listeners. If you're listening right now on the BART, you're sitting on that train, look to your right, look to your left, look at that dude's crotch that's standing right in front of you because it's fucking packed. And just imagine if all four of you were listening to the Big Wedding Planning Podcast, it would be like you'd have your own, you guys could like look at each other and be like, hilarious what they just said. Did you hear that? So we need more listeners. We need you to help us get the word out. We've heard from a couple people that have emailed us about big wedding groups on Facebook. Like one's out in Pittsburgh. Yeah. One has to do with like wedding, their resale flea market, wedding goods. We're going to talk to that that chick. It's very grassroots to see if she wants to tell us about what she's doing. But all over,
oh, right,
in every region or city or town or whatever, you brides and grooms and people planning weddings, you're getting hooked up with each other, right? You're on these forums and chats and web pages and Facebook groups to say, like, anybody know a good DJ that isn't a cornball and also loves gay weddings? So you're out there and you're asking each other about wedding stuff. So do us a solid and tell everyone on these groups about our podcast, how fun it is, how easy it is, and that we're helping you plan your weddings, because the best way to get more listeners is going to be word of mouth, I think. I hope.
And word of mouth. And then when they want to go check us out, when they go to Apple Podcasts or whatever podcast player you guys are using, and they look at our reviews, right? Because they're going to see other wedding podcasts, and then they look at our reviews, which are growing so much, you guys. I can't even, I'm so happy and so thankful. Sincerely, thank you so much. We need those reviews. We need them in order to get more listeners, in order to somehow, in the Apple world, climb up that ladder. We got to figure that out, how we get on that new and noteworthy. Anybody that works at Apple listening, hello.
New and noteworthy.
Probably annoy you with this. New and noteworthy. How do we do that?
That's anyway. What Michelle and I All call right, each so. Other privately anyways.
Hi.
I call her new. Hi, she calls me noteworthy. It's just a cute thing that we do.
It's just our thing.
So we'll take it. Speaking of reviews, we're going to bang it out. We have 40 minutes left of this episode. We're going to do reviews.
Oh my God.
We're going to answer these questions for a You Ask, We Answer. And we're going to speed through it. Okay. Everyone buckle up.
Buckle up. It's a lot of info. You're going to learn a lot on this one. Okay. Now, as for reviews, we can only read four, but I have, like I said, I think in this last month, we got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. It's growing. We got a lot, but I grabbed four. I just grabbed them in sequence. No rhyme or reason. No, there is a reason. I just
grabbed that is the rhyme and the reason.
All right. So let's start with January 2nd. I'll start. Yep. Ready, set, got a song. Want to hear it? Here you go. Here we go. January 2nd from Ashley LP114, title, Michelle and Christy Make Planning So Much More Fun. 5 stars. I've been listening for the last year as I plan my May 19 wedding on a shoestring budget with too many ideas. Mm. Listening to you talk and laugh about all things weddings have truly softened the blow of family expectations, friend judgments, and budgeting craziness.
Right.
Whenever wedding planning starts to feel like too much of a chore, I put on TBWPP, and before long, I'm excited about continuing to plan my big day. Even my groom has begun to listen along. Thank you both for being so real and fun and knowledgeable.
You're welcome.
Oh, thank you, Ashley.
Thank you very much.
Go,
next one.
Go.
Titled, I haven't logged into iTunes since 2007. Oh, whoa. I know who this is. Okay, Rio C412. Rio emailed and I responded, I believe. I definitely did.
Yeah.
I am a Spotify listener.
Yes.
But I came here to give a review because this podcast is the best. I don't even like podcasts. They're usually so stuffy and dry, but not this one. Christy and Michelle are seriously amazing. They're helpful, sweet, honest, and funny as AF. They really know their stuff and have every single bride's best interest at heart, and grooms and moms. They are every bride's dream, from the hands-off type to the DIY master. They have answers for everything and will provide many laughs along the way. I can't thank them enough for all the ways they've helped me and made me LOL at work. Aww. XOXO.
Thank you, Rio.
Very good. Thank you.
Next. By Katie and Winnie, January 10th, title, My Favorite Wedding Planning Podcast, 5 stars. Christy and Michelle are the absolute best. You feel like you're sitting in your living room with a glass of wine chatting with your best friends about all things weddings. That is, if your friends are professionally trained wedding planners. Every time I'm prepping for a vendor meeting, I scroll through their library and inevitably find at least one episode that helps curb my anxieties and get me in the mindset for the meeting. I love how they really help empower the bride or groom to make their own decisions, but they talk through traditions. where they come from, and even give alternatives to help meeting expectations of family and guests as well. Beyond that, Christy and Michelle are super available to their listeners, whether it be through Instagram or responding to listener email questions. They're the best.
Oh, this is so great.
Katie and Winnie.
I mean, it's great that we're helping, but you guys get it. Like, you get what we're trying to do, and we are trying to empower you all and help you take a deep breath and stay grounded. And we hear a lot about expectations. So, you know, the wedding industry is rife with unrealistic expectations. And if you're feeling that pressure from your friends and family, we hope that we're helping to settle some of it. So thank you for listening. And I'm glad that we're helping. Okay. The last one, a podcast that offers a strange sense of relief regarding wedding planning. My eyes are not good enough to read this small print.
If you take your finger on your mouse pad and like your two fingers and go like
okay.
this.
Yeah, I know.
You'll make it bigger.
Okay. From Marissa, January 10th. As a newly engaged bride, I have been super stressed about the logistics of a wedding. I've never hosted an event with 25 people, much less 125 people. We're with you, girl. Listening to Christy and Michelle has made me feel a weird sense of calm, so I'll continue to listen to them all the way up to the day before my wedding and probably after because I'm kind of addicted now. We'll take it. When I emailed a question yesterday, I got a response from Christy this morning. Woo! Her swift and thought-out response was so sweet, and I appreciate it so much. These two really care about the people going through the wedding planning process. Very few podcasts ever feel this heartfelt. I 100% recommend you listen.
Oh, you just got the chills.
Okay, that was so nice. Thank you, all of you that left reviews. And if you haven't, please leave a review. We need them and we love them. And it helps us keep going.
And thank you to the rest of you that left reviews this month. Seriously, thank you so much. We read every one of them. I swear to God, I'm flipping out every time I read them. You just envision that. Envision my husband going, that's good, babe.
Totally. It's just as important as you think it is. Question number one. This one's about wedding party. You want to read it?
I'll read it. Hi, ladies. First off, love you and love the podcast. You two are brilliant, hilarious, and inspiring. The amount of help you have given me over my engagement is unmeasurable, and I bet there are thousands of others that feel the same but will never review, email, tweet, or call. So I'm here to tell you for them, thank you for all you do. Oh, my God, you're so sweet. Okay. Unfortunately, I am writing in with all too typical bridal party drama. My fiancé Jim and I are what I consider an older bride and groom by Midwest standards. I'm 31 and he is 30. And so that, coupled with the fact that we are having a destination wedding, made me think that I did not want a bridal party besides my sister and his brother. However, Jim felt differently and wanted a very big bridal party. So we compromised on four each. We each asked a few friends and our siblings. However, it has only led to drama. One of his friends has complained about already having to spend so much to go to the wedding, and now he has to spend even more for a suit and everything else that goes along with being in a wedding. And my friends are excited, but the ones that I did not ask to be bridesmaids are basically not even talking to me now. Ugh. I wish we would have just kept it to his brother and my sister, since it has caused more drama than anything. But I also do not want to offend everyone, since we already asked. So my question is there a way to back out of having a bridal party? Or a way of having a toned-down bridal party so more people can be included, but no one actually stands up with us? Again, thank you for all you do.
So I answered this a while ago, and sometimes I reread my answers when we're doing Yawa and I'm like, oh, I'm so smart. I would say that again right now. Or sometimes you answered, but it's exactly what I would have said. So I almost think I answered it, you know? But in this case, I forgot to preface my answer with like, is there a way to back out of having a bridal party? You know what? You can do whatever the fuck you want. Like that, actually, like I should preface the main answer with that. Like you could tell everybody in your bridal party right now, forget it. I'm not having a bridal party anymore. You can do that because it's your wedding.
You do you, boo.
That being said, I think this is what I wrote. this is a common problem that we hear from our own clients and our listeners. And here's what I think about your specific circumstances. You've already asked, a little buyer's remorse there, but stick with the 4 and 4, okay? Just stick with the 4 and 4 that you have. In order to, quote, tone it down, consider nixing their required attire. Let them wear whatever they want. It's a destination wedding. You know, have them, give them that. It's a destination wedding. Wear whatever you want. We want you to be relaxed and comfortable and look great in these photos. It can be more relaxed this way. They would all still have bouquets and boutonnieres, which would kind of distinguish them as VIPs in the wedding party. I also suggest that they are part of the formal photos in this new way we're doing this, where there it's kind of a relaxed 4 and 4. So take those photos either before or after the ceremony. And I also think that they should walk down the aisle as part of the processional, but they do not have to stand up there with you two. You can have them walk in and then sit down. And we're seeing that more and more with people with uneven wedding parties, or, you know, wedding parties that span a huge age range, and you just have them sit down in assigned seats in the front couple rows rather than stand up there with you. So you can involve these 8 people and your other friends, including the friends that you think aren't talking to you right now about not being a bridesmaid or whatever. Have all your girlfriends get ready together. Make it fun. Make it like a thing. Mimosas, Spotify, you know, come hang out with us. Ask different friends, not just the ones that are your official 4 and 4, to do readings during the ceremony or toast during the reception, and make sure to include a few great big group pictures that include everyone on your short list with the photographer. And that means write down their actual names so that your photographer and your planner hopefully can make this photo happen and it's not going to be something that slips everyone's mind. I think you may need to reach out to the friends that feel slighted by the fact that they aren't official bridesmaids. Just tell them the truth. You felt strongly about having a small wedding party or no wedding party from the beginning, and this 4 and 4 is a compromise with your fiance, and that you're really looking forward to the destination weekend and you want them to be a part of it. You're having a relaxed wedding party. You want everyone to be happy. After that, let it go. You've done your due diligence. There isn't much more you can do, but enjoy your wedding day.
Yeah, I agree with everything you said. And the buyer's remorse is a very good way of putting it. It's interesting. It's interesting to me, a little bit shocking, not shocking, but I'm like, huh, when it's the guy who's like, oh, no, I want, you know, wants the traditional stuff. It happens a lot. Like the first look one.
Yeah.
I agree with everything you said. And, you know, we have talked about firing bridesmaids and groomsmen before. And if it gets to be a situation where it's just a person is causing you grief and being horrible, you might need to fire them. It's not worth it, you know? And honestly, if they're already complaining about, oh, God, it's so expensive, blah, 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 they might be relieved for you to say,
just forget
guess
it.
What? We're not going to just, we love you. Just come as a guest. And he might be like, okay, thank you, you know? So, but until then, follow Christy's advice.
Yeah. Makes and a lot sense. Of people ask wedding party members, you know, a year out or something, maybe a little too quickly, that they've like defined who's in the wedding party. Sometimes it's really important for couples to do this. Sometimes people don't care as much, but then let's say you've asked 4 and then in a couple months, another friend of yours, a work friend or a neighbor or another friend that you've had for a while actually is getting more involved, and she's your sounding board and she's easier to talk to and she's more excited about the wedding. And then you feel bad that you didn't ask her to be in the wedding party. So rather than asking late, just include her on the wedding day. There's no rules. Have her get ready with you. Have her do a reading. Give her a corsage. You know, do something that makes her feel special and appreciated, even though she isn't an official bridesmaid.
And this listener did write back right away. She was super appreciative of the help. It's that panic mode you get in when things like this happen. And, you know, it's not, you know, let that person be a pain in the ass. They're hurting themselves more than you. get on with your planning. Onward and upward. She asked a couple more questions. Thank you so much for engaging with us. Let us know if you end up having to fire anybody.
Question number two. This one is about like physical items. You want to read it?
Yeah, I'll read it. And by the way, you guys, we had also got a ton of emails this month. A ton.
I think I responded to them all, but it is taking a couple months.
You did most of the responding.
It takes a couple days. Sorry.
It does. It does. I responded to a couple of them. Christy did most of the responding. Thank you so much for sending us these, you guys. Okay. Hi, Christy and Michelle. First and foremost, thanks for doing this podcast. It's been my best friend at times when I didn't want to burden friends, family, and my fiance with all the wedding nonsense going on in my head. This podcast has kept me so sane through this process. You guys, we have wedding nonsense going on in our heads, too, all the time. My question is about organization of all things weddings. We've been purchasing things for our September 1st wedding, and I'm officially at the place where almost every room has a pile of wedding stuff. This includes everything from little items for those details, lay flats, to tote bags for the bridesmaids, to big lanterns. I want to store things in the best way possible so it doesn't take over our house, but also so it's organized for the weekend. Any suggestions? Thanks so much.
Love that question. An easy question, and I think my answer is almost deceivingly simple, I guess. So I said, good question. I love it when couples give me boxes, like actual boxes on the wedding day, labeled and taped closed. If you can do that with what you have now, just fill boxes as carefully as you can. Let's say one box has 12 frames for your 12 table numbers, and then you also put three cylinder vases that you want on the head table. On the outside, make sure you include a detailed label. Once you have the stuff in place, try not to mess around with it anymore. I mean, for your own sanity, don't keep opening boxes and rethinking everything. It's like a metaphor. Once you put it in a box and close it up, it's out of your mind. You check it off of your list. You've done it. Then on the wedding day, I have all these boxes. I reuse the boxes when I stuff things back into them to go home with the couple. And I'm able to recycle the ones I don't need anymore, like a favor box or a wine box. So it's not an exact science, but it works. The labels are key. A lot of times I'll have the boxes labeled, but I also get like a guide from the couple that has like box 1 through 10. Here's what's in each box. The best couples or the most organized will use a full piece of paper to label what's on the box. So clearly identify everything in the box plus where it needs to be placed on the wedding day. And if you're an overachiever, who it needs to go home with at the end of the night. Any special instructions, you know, we can go over those as well. If you want your candy bar, for example, set up a very specific way, sketch it out, doesn't have to be perfect, or do a mock-up at home and take a picture. This really helps with things like favor bars, candy bars, or dessert stations. If you have like, I don't know, 4 cake plates and 5 trays and you want them put out a certain way, do it yourself, take a pic, put the pic in or on the box. Consolidate, wrap things that are fragile very well, and use as much space as possible in the boxes. I hope this helps. That is my advice for that.
That is very good advice. I really have nothing to add there. We're, you know, organizing I could talk about for hours. And by the way, watch the show on Netflix, Maria Kondo. Have you watched it, Christy?
No, but I was going to say that also.
If
it gives you
shit.
Joy, keep it. There's keep no it. Point in bringing your entire house to set up at a wedding.
Do you know there's not. Sorry, I interrupted you. But I just want to say, you know that like thrift stores and stuff are like overloading right now because the show on Netflix is like creating a movement.
Yeah. There's people who've been doing this for so long and didn't call it a movement. They just called themselves like OCD, I can't stand clutter, get the shit out. I'm not one of those people. But
now it's like inspiring people who weren't like that.
Yeah. Today's sponsor
is... Oh, this is not working out.
Yeah,
well.
you go for it.
Zola. Z-O-L-A. Zola, the wedding company that will do anything for love.
Zola.com. It's reinventing the wedding planning and registry experience. You guys, there's so many tools on here to use. And one of the best tools that they have is their compassionate customer service. So they'll walk you through if you have any questions. A real person will be there to help you. It's all in the service of love. Since we've started doing this podcast, Zola has blown up. Over 500,000 couples, not just since we've been mentioning them, but in the past 2 years, since we started hearing about it, right?
Yeah.
Over 500,000 couples have now used Zola. It helps to take the stress out of wedding planning. We love their wedding website templates, how easy it is to personalize everything, your favorite design, all your wedding details, your photos, your FAQ section, maps. All of that, it's easy to plug right in. And the difference is that when you're doing this on Zola, you're also doing your registry on Zola. So that's what makes it different than other places you can do a wedding website. It's a one-stop shop situation.
It's just convenience, and we need convenience when we're wedding planning, especially to manage everything online in one place. Saves you time, people. You need it.
And the registry items are awesome. They offer free shipping and returns, price matching, and a perk. So if you register for a bunch of stuff and you only get half of that, you're going to get 20% off the remaining gifts if you purchase them after your wedding day.
And they have invitations, and they have save the dates, and they have guest list management. They have everything. Everything you need at Zola. You can register also for things like Sonos, Airbnb, Delta, Southwest, Honeymoon Fund. You guys, check it out. All right, so to start your free wedding website or registry on Zola, go to Zola, Z-O-L-A, Zola.com/bigwedding. Don't forget to put the /bigwedding so they know that Christy and Michelle sent you. Okay? Zola.com/bigwedding. Thank you, Zola.
Question number three.
Hi, guys. First of all, love your show. And fangirled so hard when you liked my bridal AF wine glass photo on Instagram. We love Instagram, you guys. We really do look at your photos and like and comment.
Yeah, tag plan that wedding.
Hashtag plan that wedding. Yeah, hashtag plan that wedding. Okay. I'm 8 months into and 8 months out from my wedding day, and holy shit, it's been a ride already. After a 2-month hiatus, after a 2-month hiatus, I'm back full swing into planning. One thing my fiance and I can't seem to agree on is the first look. I've showed him the pros and cons first look video on YouTube from Jamie Woofer, another planner I love. We need to look her up, Christy. Have you seen Jamie Woofer on YouTube? I'll have to check that out. And it still hasn't convinced him. He's very traditional and doesn't want to ruin the moment of me walking down the aisle and him seeing me in my dress for the first time. I, on the other hand, am not a shy person or anything, but my body seems to go into shock during high stress, high attention moments like this. I almost passed out when we got engaged for some reason. My hands go numb. I have no idea why. I'm worried and terrified this will happen when I get to the aisle and would love a first look to get my nerves settled. Have you two ever come across compromises with first looks? How do you two feel about them? I really would love to see his face and talk to him while respecting his wishes for the big day. Where's a good middle ground here?
I love this.
Help, Rio. Rio from Pittsburgh. I love it too.
Yeah, I love this because we deal with this all the time. And it is not uncommon that one partner really wants to do that first look traditional in the aisle, in the moment. So I want to say that if the partner, her groom, were emailing us, I might have a totally different answer for him on how to convince Rio or propose to her that she'd, you know, do it during the ceremony. So all that to say, they both have pros and cons. But since she wrote us, I'm going to give my advice for how she can make this happen. Okay. Your reasons for wanting a first look are totally valid. I have very physical reactions to nerves too. It's so weird. I opened a mean letter from a law firm the other day and I swear my hands went numb and the back of my neck got really hot, like instantaneously. Okay, so here's the compromise. You have to make the first look itself feel really special. It needs to feel sacred. That's the feeling that he wants. That's the moment that he wants. With a walk towards him and with your bouquet and in a beautiful private spot so that you two can almost recreate the moment as it would be if you did it during the ceremony. It can and should be, in my opinion, just the two of you and the photographer. That's it. Allow time for this in your day of timeline. So don't rush it. And then take 15 or 20 minutes of photos with just the two of you. You'll be so happy that you did. Tell him that this will make you feel, this will make it feel more intimate to you, in addition to helping with the crazy nerves. You don't have everybody watching you, and that you will be so much more relaxed during the ceremony when you really do that entrance. I don't think it will take away from the moment of the ceremony entrance if he's already seen you, if you do a first look that feels really special. A first look allows you to control the situation a little more, and it gives you two time together to breathe and relax your shoulders and take each other in a little bit without 120 people staring at you. You probably won't get that kind of downtime together for the rest of the day, at least not without feeling like you're missing something else that's going on. So that's my advice. That would be exactly what I would say to you if you were my client bride. And I'm really curious to know what she decided to do and how it goes.
Yeah, and tell him, I agree with everything you said. And in fact, let him know that creating this time and this moment, it's going to be even more intimate and exciting and meaningful without rushing it in that moment during the ceremony. And also, it's going to be like your own cute little secret, the two of you. And if you guys can cuddle and love and kiss before the ceremony, and then it's going to, but remember, groom, that when the ceremony happens, that also is going to be a unique first moment, because that's going to be the first moment that all your guests, your parents, like everybody sees her entering and the two of you mm-hmm. connecting. And that itself is something of a whole nother experience as well.
Yeah, so you kind of get two moments if you do a first look.
Yeah. I really hope, you know, he agrees and decides to do this first look, because Christy and I have experienced this firsthand, whether it's right there in the moment with you guys or from a distance. And Christy's right. Try to make it just the two of you, with your photographer, of course, and perhaps videographer. But they'll be from afar. And it's so lovely. It's so wonderful just to share it, the two of you. I can't even tell you. I wish Jose Luis and I would have done that. It would have made it so much more, I don't know, less stressful. It's pretty awesome. So, yeah.
Very good.
Final question.
One's a little longer, but also very good. You going to read it?
I'll read it. You answered it. Here we go. Hi, ladies. I was so happy to hear my review read on the podcast a few weeks ago, and knowing that it came at the right time to offset some negative vibes made it just a little more special. She was referring to that negative review we got.
Wah,
that
wah.
One negative review. Wah, wah, wah. Okay. I want to thank you so much for all of your help and allowing myself and all other DIY brides and grooms the opportunity to write in and pick your brains a bit. I am getting married September 13th, 2019, which is barreling towards me like a freight train. I'm doing my best to stay on top of my plans, but I find myself getting overwhelmed often by the sheer amount of decisions and plans that need to be coordinated. I've locked down my venue, a restored 1930s movie theater here in Long Island, New York, and it's perfect. Oh my God, that sounds so cool. I now find myself in a place where my ideas flow out of me at the most inconvenient times, usually midday at work or at 3 a.m., and I don't know how to rein them in and narrow down. My fiance loves comic books and Star Wars. I love Disney and Harry Potter. We both love movies, so we are trying to work in some hints of everything into our wedding, but we don't want it to feel cheesy or themed. We took some fun engagement pictures in a theater with some of our silly movie-themed props. We had a friend illustrator save the dates to look like a Pixar movie short slash comic strip. I love that, too. It's so cool. Our plan is to name our tables after movie locations rather than just numbers. Oz, Hogwarts, Gotham, Atlantis, etc. My main question is, how much is too much? What are the parts of a wedding that take a theme well, and what might lead us to cross the line into tacky? Budget, of course, always comes into play. My priority has always been with the photos, but where else is our budget best spent? I plan to put together my own bouquets to save, but is it awful to use silk flowers? Are we better off choosing a small cake and spending money on dessert variety instead? Is it okay to be sparse and let the space speak for itself? I don't want to overdo anything, but I also don't want to miss the ball completely and have it feel too sparse. Thank you for any help or advice you can offer, Kat.
Okay, this is a perfect example of somebody that might be good for a 2-hour consultation, because she has so many questions and so many ideas, and I, you know, answer as best that I can in the time that I have, you know, knowing like, we can't go into great detail on all of this stuff, but I pretty much get the gist. Happy to do a further 2-hour consultation with you if you want to get more specific about things. So thank you for writing. Thank you for your review and kind words. We totally understand how overwhelming things can be, especially ideas about design, because it seems like if you have a great idea and then you Google it or look to Pinterest, you can get lost down a huge rabbit hole and then forget what your original idea was and why it was brilliant, because there are very few totally original ideas anymore. I can give you a pep talk. I can give you advice, you know, to just get you ready to go. Some of those are slow down, do a brain dump on paper. Anytime that you're swimming with ideas, spend less time on Pinterest, focus on what's very important to you and make that part perfect. Don't worry about the other details. But this all seems a little trite when you're in the thick of it. I do encourage you to stay focused on your relationship with your fiance. The wedding day should be a celebration and a reflection of your relationship. That reflection has already gotten started with your save the dates and your engagement photos. So you're on the right track. Think about it this way. There's you, your partner, and the relationship. Three entities. The wedding is a party. And you want to pull out all of the good from that third part, that relationship. Highlight that stuff. Celebrate each other and why you're so awesome. Celebrate in the music, the order of events, the written design elements, and the ceremony script. I think that's a great place for the pop culture and the movie references in the script. I've done weddings that had awesome lines from movies or books that speak to love and commitment, and you have people read your favorite readings. Maybe it's a superhero's creed or a line in Harry Potter, a Disney princess's proclamation. Include these things in the ceremony script in a, you know, almost like a traditional way, instead of reading a poem from who's the poem we always hear? Rumi, R-U-M-I, the philosopher. Anyway, you hear the same things at ceremonies. Love is patient. Love is kind. That's from the Bible. Read your readings that you really like, that you and your fiance have memorized from these books and movies. Consider walking down the aisle to some cinematic ballad or theme song that makes your heart soar every time you hear it. It's corny, but I think you know what I'm talking about. You can do it in a not corny way. The ceremony is also a good place to bring in a theme when the theme is based on things that you both love, which this is. I think the danger zone here is you don't want your wedding reception to look like you went into a prop warehouse, a movie prop warehouse, and just got all the big things and threw them in there. So just don't do that. I like your naming the tables ideas. You know, you don't have to go crazy with the theme and make each table a shrine to that location. Just name it the idea you had, Hogwarts or whatever. Keep the flowers and the table decor simple. This will save you a little bit of money. You're in a super cool venue. You don't need to dress it up to look like a cookie cutter wedding. You picked it because you liked that it was a theater. I think it's great to have a small cutting cake. We're talking about saving a little bit of money now. And no joke, I'm not joking here, and I don't want to like say that I don't believe in a big elaborate wedding cake. But if you want something very simple just to cut, you can order a simple cake from Walmart with white frosting, stick a topper on it from Etsy, and put it on a cool cake plate. You're not serving this to everyone. It's one less thing to worry about. Then you have a variety of desserts that you can offer, little dessert spread, cookies, mason jar desserts, pie. You can even order these little desserts from a grocery store bakery. Since the desserts themselves aren't elaborate, I suggest setting them up on the table in a cool way. This can be one of the like design pops in the room. I always like to make sure there are platters that are in various sizes and heights. Put some flowers on the table, maybe a cool backdrop. I think you should look into lighting as a way to highlight the venue and make it a party. Uplights, gobo, maybe you can get your name in something that looks like a marquee, like old school theater style, and dance lighting for after dinner. This will be bang for your buck. The impact is great and the cost is not crazy. As far as flowers, I don't know that silk flowers will save you much money. I've mentioned this on a lot of episodes, but one way to do flowers yourself is to get basically in-season grocery store flowers. If you're willing to snip them and put them in little vases yourself, just pick a variety of blooms, various shapes and colors, use these for your bouquet, and then put them in mismatched glass containers from the dollar store or vintage thrift stores. Put a couple stems in each one and scatter those vases on every surface that you can. It's easy, it's inexpensive, and people can take them after the wedding and you aren't out a lot of money. So between the cool lighting, the cool venue, and the cool people, the flowers, it sounds like for this couple, are not a priority. I like fresh flowers for a wedding. I like working with florists for a wedding, but if it's not in your budget, you don't have to have millions of fresh flowers. So I hope this helps, and I hope she sends us pictures after the event. That covered a lot of ground because she had so many questions.
You talked a lot about ways to save money. Did you mention Rent My Wedding on that one for the lighting?
I think I did in my email to her. I have in several emails this week.
Lighting is important, especially if you're like Star Wars, right? And theatrical and movies. So go to rentmywedding.com. We've used the service. I saw that you responded to Paloma, by the way, who is one of my clients. And if Paloma, if you're listening, I used Rent My Wedding once as well, just like Christy. It's a great service. It's inexpensive. They ship you the lighting. You set it out super easy. You ship it back. Also, I know you mentioned the Walmart cake. I cringed a little bit. I did. I would have said Whole Foods, but whatever. It's a cake cutting. You can make, but if you want to see a fun wedding cake, literally, she just posted it today on Instagram. Our dear friend, Christy's dear friend, and I wish her, she was my friend. Fancy Cakes by Lauren posted on Instagram today, today is January 25th. 2019, a really cool Star Wars cake that she made for somebody. So you do you. Again, like Christy said, don't make it seem like a prop. You went into a props warehouse. But, you could do also like very simple poly cotton linens. You could do them white or you could do them in a color, the lighting is key. If you want it, I have seen silk floral bouquets, not in person, but I've seen them online. If you do the right silk flowers that don't look fake, it can look okay. And you could do that well in advance, not the night before the wedding. Send us pictures. I'm really curious to know what you come up with. I don't know what your budget is, but having it in that theater in Long Island, you have so much opportunity to do cool stuff. I wouldn't leave it sparse looking. And since your invitations are going to tell your guests what the wedding's going to be like and they are themed, you can, have a little fun.
Yeah, you can play it up.
Yeah. So good luck with that. That's awesome. I'm super stoked about it. I love themed weddings.
And that was our last email, yes?
Yeah, man, we did it. Do our outro. We'll hit this shit in 1 hour.
Our big website for the Big Wedding Planning Podcast is thebigweddingplanningpodcast.com. We have show notes there. You can listen to episodes. We have ways to contact us. Best way to contact us is email thebigweddingplanningpodcast@gmail.com. Of course, you can follow us on Instagram and Facebook and Twitter. Instagram at the Big Wedding Planning Podcast, Facebook at the Big Wedding Planning Podcast, or at TBWP Podcast, which is Twitter. Give us a review on iTunes. Help support us with $5 a month on Patreon, patreon.com/thebigweddingplanningpodcast. It helps us continue to do this podcast and produce it. We're still doing everything by ourselves, so any help is much appreciated. If we're helping you, we would love some support. Tell your friends, and if you want consulting, email us. We will schedule something with you one-on-one. And we have a phone number, 415-723-1625. Thank you for listening.
Thank you all so much. We love you. Keep those reviews coming in and those emails. We love you so much. Christy, love you, love your show.
Love you. Bye.
Bye.